Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. We are working our way through the Ten Commandments. We've covered three of them so far. Can you name them by heart? Commandment number one, have no other gods. Commandment number two, make no graven images. Command number three, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And tonight we come to the fourth commandment, and we keep that in the first tablet, if you will. We keep that in the tablet that relates to our relationship with God. These are still commandments on the horizontal plane. We're going to get to the vertical plane. Wait, is that right? No, horizontal's that way. These are commandments that are on the vertical plane, and we're going to get to the commandments that are on the horizontal plane. But right now, we're in the first tablet, and the reason we consider this to be in the first tablet is because, yes, it's true that we're going to find out this Sabbath is very beneficial for us human beings. It was created for us. It was created with us in mind. There's great benefit to our body physiologically, biologically, to our mental health, our emotional health, our spiritual health. And yet, in practice, in the strictest sense, when we observe the Sabbath day, God considers it an act of worship to Him. He considers it an act of worship from the worshiper right to Himself. And so we keep that in that first tablet of tablets, or pardon me, as commandments that relate to our relationship with the Lord. Now, we're going to take a look at the fourth commandment and see how that breaks down. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. I do have a lot to say. I really was hoping to get through more than just one tonight, but I felt like things just sort of worked out for me to spend our time tonight on the fourth commandment alone, the Sabbath day. So let's take a look. Verse 8, the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. No work at all. And notice how specific the Lord was. You're not going to do any work, but make sure you don't put that workload off onto the kids. Kids, I can't do it today. It's the Sabbath day, so get that lawn mowed. Get those crops dug. No, you can't put it on your kids. Why? Because your kids are under the same obligation. They are also under the Sabbath day obligation. And the Lord takes it a step further. It's a rest for the whole family, no work for the whole household, and that includes the animals, the work animals. Verse 11. For in it 6 days, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, I think on our title screen, we listed this verses 8 through 10, didn't we?
Yes.
We've already got further than we planned. I mean, we are doing great. That's my fault. I looked at that wrong, and I gave that to Maggie earlier to put out a title screen, and I only thought we were going to verse 10. But verse 11, too, very important. The Lord made this day holier than all the other days. Don't mistake what the Lord says when He says to keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't think that means you don't have to keep the other days holy. No, you keep those days holy too. Every day of the week you should be aiming for holiness. But here's the point. Make the Sabbath day a special day. Make it a special kind of holy before the Lord. It's a day of unique and special worship of the Lord, and it is a day to stop, as we read in verses 8 through 10. And that is the definition of the word Sabbath. That's it. Sabbath just means stop, cease and desist. Break up your work week, bring it to a conclusion, and take a day completely off, take a day to rest. That is what Sabbath or Shabbat in Hebrew means. It is a weekly day designed by God for all of us to reflect, rejoice, relax, revive, and renew. Just remember all of those R's. What does the Lord want me to do on the Sabbath day? Reflect, rejoice, relax, revive, and renew. That's what he wants. Keep in mind the setting from which this is given. The Hebrews have been in Egypt for 430 years, and much of that in slavery through hard bondage, and they haven't seen a break, a rest, or an off day in hundreds of years. They literally worked 7 days a week, 360 days a year, because they were working off of a 360-day calendar. So they didn't know what an off day was. This must have just been wonderful news to hear the Lord say, once a week, I want everyone to slow down. I want the wheels to stop turning. I want production to cease. And I want you just to zone out, take a day, have some downtime, relax, and worship me. That must have been music to their ears. You mean to tell me we're a free nation now? And not only are we a free nation, but the Lord's giving us off days? Wow, a much better employer indeed. It must have been music to their ears, but it was also breaking news to the civilizations all around them. Because at this time, this concept of taking a day off from work, it just didn't exist in the cultures around them, in the nations around them. There was no one at this time in history that had come up with the idea to take some off days during the week. They were all work 7 days a week. We get to the New Testament, and there were still many cultures, many civilizations, many nations still stuck in that mode of thinking. The Romans, for example, were very critical of the Jewish way of life. They thought, how ridiculous that they would take a day off every week. They're so lazy. That's a perfectly good work day. If you work 7 days a week, man, you can get so much more done. The Jews, they'll never conquer the world like us Romans. But we Romans, we work around the clock. So that was the way of the world. And then the Lord, through the Jewish nation, gives this brand new idea that no one else had ever thought of. Once a week, stop what you're doing, cease from work, and take a day off to rest. So if you are employed today and you like your off days very much, thank a Jew. Because the Lord used the Jewish nation to give this concept to the entire world. I tell you, I kind of like it. I like my off days. Now, it was so important that God had to make this a commandment. Think about that. He had to command us to stop and take a rest. Now, as I observe our present generation, it seems strange to me that human beings didn't come up with this idea first of taking some off days. Because as I observe this present generation, it seems to me they could use a command not to take a day off. That they got that down. They know how to do that. It seems to me maybe the command should have been, hey, those other 5 or 6 days of the week, you need to do something. You need to work. You need to bring in some food for your family. You need to bring in some money so that you can buy some clothes and have your family live life in a somewhat comfortable and okay situation. But no, the Lord has to tell us in a form of a commandment, knowing that maybe not necessarily all of this generation, but all throughout the generations of the history of the world, it would be a vulnerability within mankind to want to just keep working, to work that fifth day and that sixth day and that seventh day. and not take the break, not take the off day. So the Lord has to make it a commandment. Now, as New Testament students of the Word, it is a common question at this point to ask whether or not we are obligated to keep the Sabbath. At very least, we have to admit, when we get to the New Testament, things changed radically with this whole concept of the Sabbath day. And that can confuse us. Lord, as we read the New Testament and we uncover the truth that the Sabbath day, among the physical reasons for you giving us this command, you had big spiritual reasons. You were teaching us a truth. This was a shadow of things to come, according to the book of Hebrews. This was a shadow of things to come. It was typology to teach us about something spiritual, and that is our salvation through Christ. We read in Hebrews that Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Christ is our Sabbath. What does that mean? It means we are done working for our salvation. That never really worked anyway. But now it's really done. We have New Testament doctrine on this. No more working for our salvation. Christ, through the free gift of salvation, has given us that rest from our work, from our religious labors. So Hebrews chapter 4, 3 says this, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." We no longer work for salvation, but we rest in the completed work of Jesus on the cross. So what does that mean? Are we supposed to keep the commandments? Or because Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath for us, does that mean we're completely off the hook and we don't have to keep the Sabbath at all? Well, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, 16 and 17, I should say. The Apostle Paul says this. We've covered it before here in this fellowship. He says, "So let no one judge you in food." You're saying, "Thank goodness, because I wasn't cutting back." "In food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths," verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." That is, all of those things that Paul listed out, that was not the substance. That was not the full story or the full picture. Those things were pointing us to Jesus, and he becomes the fulfillment of those things for us. He becomes the lesson learned from those Old Testament items like laws around food and drink, festivals, new moons, and Sabbaths. And then we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, one person esteems one day above another. That would be the Sabbath day. There are going to be those that say, no, the Sabbath day is it. Sabbath day is a Saturday, always has been and always will be. And there will be those that say, no, we need to worship the Lord on the Sabbath, the real Sabbath, Saturday. But Paul says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. And then Paul says, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. All right, so now that we know that the original Sabbath day was a Saturday on the weekly calendar, yet we look at what the Apostle Paul said in these two passages in the New Testament, and we find out that here's what has changed as a result of Christ fulfilling the typology represented by the Sabbath day command. It's this: New Testament believers are no longer to be judged over how they view, over how they apply, and how they observe the Sabbath day in their own spiritual lives. We are no longer allowed to pass that judgment. Were they allowed in the Old Testament? Yes. And the Lord passed that judgment himself when he sent the nation into captivity. He said, "I'm sending you up there for 70 years because that symbolizes the number of Sabbaths that you've deprived me of. You've not been observing the Sabbath." And the Lord says, "I'm going to get those Sabbaths from you. So you're going to be up there in rest." in captivity. Yes, it was an issue of judgment. It was the set day every week. But now things have changed in the New Testament. Christ is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And the Apostle Paul says, don't judge anyone over how they handle the Sabbath. You have the two people, the two different people that Paul referenced there. You have the one that pick a day. And they say, this is the day that is to be my Sabbath day of rest. This is the holy day that I use to worship the Lord. And then you have other people who say, no, the Sabbath is fulfilled through Christ, and now I esteem every day to be the same. Every day is a day to worship the Lord. Every day is a day to take those moments of rest, to get away with the Lord and do all those things, do the R's, reflect and relax and revive and renew. And I think I missed one, but all of those R's, that's that every day I can do that now because I esteem every day alike, every day holy before the Lord. And then you have some people like me who combine the both of them together and observe every day as that holy day, that day to worship the Lord and that day to get away with the Lord and spend some time with him, but then also have that one day a week that I set aside as the day to worship him collectively with the fellowship. And however we apply this as Christians, we just have to make sure that we understand, though things have changed with the Sabbath through the finished work of Christ, the principle has not changed a bit. The principle is sound. If we say that a Christian no longer has to keep the Sabbath, I would say amen to that, and that's true, but I would also say the principle remains sound and solid. Not keeping the Sabbath, you still have to keep many things in mind. The purpose for the Sabbath, to give you a rest, to give you some time to refresh, to keep you from burning out and melting down in life. So I encourage you to find some time during the week to be able to do that, to have that downtime and that worship time, that reflection time. That can be once a week on a set day. That can be scattered throughout the week. However you choose between you and the Lord to set it up, that's up to you. But the principle is sound, and I think that we certainly as New Testament Christians need to keep that in mind. Now, whenever we are dealing with this issue of Sabbath rest, there seems to be some common objections to observing the Sabbath. That is, these are the most common reasons given as to why Christians today do not observe a Sabbath day of rest. Here's number one. Objection number one sounds something like this. I'm financially fine, doing okay, but if I work through my off days, I can get further ahead. I don't have any reason to do it. It's not out of need. I've got some things on my list that I want to buy, and I can buy those things quicker. I can save up for those vacations quicker if I intentionally work through my off days. If I skip out on church to head into the office, I can get further ahead more quickly in time. That's the first group of people. And boy, I'm just going to be blunt for a moment, if that's okay. If that's your position on the Sabbath day, on why you don't observe a Sabbath day of rest or why you choose not to come to church on Sunday, I'm just going to let you know the source behind that, the reason for it. It's this: covetousness, greed. That's the reason behind it. It's you wanting more, probably wanting more of what you already have. And I'm telling you, there is nothing honorable about covetousness and greed. But the funny thing is, I mean, I guess it's not really funny, but not really funny, haha, but the ironic thing is that people in this category, people with this objection to keeping a Sabbath day or attending church on Sunday, they are usually the ones that are the most boastful about what they do. They're the ones that tell you about their 70 hours a week that they work. And they're the ones that tell you, hey, I just put together a string of 21 days without a single off day. And they're the ones that put their pictures of their new toys that they bought with all those extra days that they put in at the office or in the field, wherever they were. Those are the ones most boastful about it. And it just always amazes me to see other people praising them for it. That should never be a Christian. A Christian should never praise another person for that objection to keeping the Sabbath day, because we should know the truth. If that's why a person isn't keeping the Sabbath day, all of that stuff that they got, all of those things that they boast about, they get it at the expense of time with the Lord and time with their family. Now, they'll object to that too. Oh, no, I make time for my family. That's why I put in all those extra days, so I can buy the boat to take the kids out, or so that I can save up for that vacation. Yeah, I saved up. We went on this big vacation, saved up a whole year for it. $4,000. We went down to Disneyland. The kids, we were there for 3 days. Kids got to ride some rides and slide some slides. Well, great. But that's 3 days you spent with your kids in 2 years by your own admission. Oh, they object again. Well, yeah, but it's quality time. Ooh, I love that argument. Quality time. That's a misnomer. Quality time. That's an excuse for not getting quantity time with your family or quantity time with the Lord. Do you try that with the Lord? Lord, I'm busy, I know. It was 5 minutes today, 4 minutes with you yesterday. I skipped the day before. Lord, I know I haven't had much time with you lately, but it's been quality time. I've been throwing some of my best prayers at you. No, it doesn't work with the Lord. And it shouldn't work with your families either. You know, they've done a lot of studies about this over the last handful of decades. And all the honest studies tell us the same thing. That when you ask kids the question whether they would prefer to have quality time with their parents or quantity time with their parents, if they understand the question, kids will always say quantity time, not quality time. The kids say, no, rather than just having mom and dad there for the special occasions or the special vacations or the special moments or the special evening plans, a half hour here, an hour there, I'd rather just have mom and dad around all the time. I'd rather just have not quality time, but quantity time. And I'm telling you, you probably know this if you've been parenting long. Quantity time is where the deep connections are made between you and your kids. Quantity time is when those deep conversations happen. Quantity time is when you get those moments to really express your love. Not when you're riding the rides in Disneyland. Are you talking to your kids then? No. Are you getting closer to your kids then? No. I mean, they're having fun. But that's not developing the kind of family love and unity that the Lord intended with this very purpose of the Sabbath day. So it's a lame excuse. Here's the second objection we get. Objection number two. Arlen, I have to work through my off days. Not an option. Not a question. I have to work through my off days. I have to work Sunday. I can't come to church because I have to pay my bills. Oh, I would love to, and maybe the day will come when I'm in a better financial climate personally, when I have some space and some room in the budget, and I'll have to work so hard. But right now, I just don't have the choice. I have to work. If I don't work that extra day at work, if I don't spend that extra time with the company, we won't be eating, and we won't be able to pay for our bills. Now, this may be tough to hear, so I'm going to give you a disclaimer before I say it. I want you to know, I may not be in this position right now, but I have been in this position. So what I'm about to say shouldn't seem condemning to you. I don't mean it that way. I just want this to come across as a true principle to try to guide the way that we live our lives, the way that we set things up financially for our homes. Because the truth is, I've done this and I've lived in this position for many years within my life. All right, but here's my statement. Those that raise objection number two as their reason for not observing a Sabbath day, it could be because They're having an issue trusting the Lord right now with the Lord's ability to faithfully provide what they need for the home. It could be that. But I'm going to say more than likely, the culprit here for objection number two is this. It may not be covetousness and greed now that keeps that person from observing a Sabbath day, but it very, very likely is a consequence of that very thing not far in the past. In other words, there were past financial decisions that were made that absolutely strapped you down, tied your hands. You made the decision to live above your means. Now, this is not always the case. Sometimes those financial decisions are made and then the work situation changes. I understand this is not a hard set rule, but in general, we see this the most, that those financial decisions are made based on the things we covet after, the things we lust after, the things that we're greedy for, and we work and we work and we work, and we get ourselves to the place where we are slaves to our jobs. We are slaves to the money that's coming in. We need it, and we just don't have the options. Either way, I think 9 times out of 10, this is the culprit. It is covetousness and greed. It's being a workaholic. And anything you add the word aholic to the end of that suffix, it's not going to be a good thing. Maybe you're a workaholic because you want to be, you want to get ahead, you want to get further, you want to buy more stuff. Maybe you have to be a workaholic because you already did buy more stuff and now you have no choice but to pay those bills from past covetousness, past lust, and past greed. But either way, you're in a tough situation and plunged in over your head, living above your means, a slave to your job and a slave to your bills. We need to learn this. Simplicity is happiness. Downtime is precious. Life is meant to be lived. Having time to live life to the fullest is better than working long enough to spend money to its fullest. It just is. Again, I've said this before, but it is not he who has the most who is happiest. It is he who needs the least. So hear me on this one. If you have enough, if your bills are paid, if you have that free time and that space, if you have that day that you could take off and set it apart to the Lord and come to church and spend time with family, just resting and relaxing, pardon me, and recovering from the week and developing that close bond of love within the family, would you do me the favor and just do it? Don't go into work that day. Keep that day freed up. Observe that day as the Sabbath day. And if you're stuck without a Sabbath day because of finances, bills, situations that you've got yourself into already, I'm just going to ask you to go to the Lord. Ask the Lord for your help or for his help. See if the Lord can help you in that situation to work something out, to give you some cushion so that you can honor that day. I believe that if you just make the decision and do it, the Lord will honor that and he'll provide what you need. But I do believe you can be praying to the Lord and asking him for his help so that that day can be freed up. And I believe that the Lord will give that to you. I just think it's that important to the Lord. You know what he's probably going to lead you to do? He's probably going to say, you know how to get there. I'll help you, but you're going to have to make some decisions. You know how to get there. You know how to free yourself up. That means selling some stuff to pay some things off. That means downsizing some things. It means a lot of financial moves, but if it's what you're really wanting, I'm sure there's a way there. And as a pastor, as someone who has been on both sides of the spectrum, I could offer you some personal advice, I would think. So if you want to see me on this one, see me on that, and we can talk some more about that. But suffice it to say, these are truths about life. The Lord has already taught us that if you're trying to get ahead, further ahead, by working through your Sabbath day, or if you're working that extra day just to stay afloat, that it is not going to work out like you think it is. That truth was given to us in Exodus chapter 16. That's just four chapters ago. But it is four chapters ago. The Lord set up these principles for us about the Sabbath day before he even gave us the Sabbath day as a command. That's found in Exodus chapter 16, verses 26 and 27 specifically. Let me read that to you. 6 days you shall gather it. Gather what? The manna. What is manna? What is it? Exactly. So 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. I submit to you, that is a spiritual truth. That is a principle for life. It is not going to work the way that you think it is. It seems like it would. The paychecks show it to be true. You're working that seventh day. You're working that off day. You're working that Sunday instead of being in church. So the paycheck is reflecting that. But here's the problem. You really end up, even as the Lord said here in Exodus 16, empty. You may get your extra money. You may have more finances coming into the home. But there's an emptiness there. There's a void there. Look at the next verse, Exodus 16, verse 28. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Let me put that in my own words here. This is the Lord saying, when are you going to get it? These are more than just good ideas. There are principles at play here, the Lord is saying. What is the principle? When you trust the Lord and hear and obey him and do what he says, there is a blessing. There's a power behind that. There's a blessing that comes with that. So if you work on the sixth day, you know how the Lord set this up in Exodus 16. On the sixth day of collecting manna, there was a double portion. The Lord gave a double portion on the sixth day. On the seventh day, there was nothing. So if you work that sixth day and didn't work that seventh day, God was blessing your obedience. There was blessing included with that. What is the other option? The other option would be to work 7 days, ignore what the Lord said, and then you're just completely on your own. It works the same way with tithing. It works the same thing. It works the same way with every command that the Lord has given us. There is extra blessing in following his commands. When you don't follow his commands because they seem unreasonable, or because you're sure they won't work out in your situation, when you don't follow his commands, you are on his own without his blessing. I'd rather be doing what he says with his blessing and then leaving my success or my failure in his hands. Taking him at his word. Trusting him for his promises and letting him provide that extra that I'm just sure I need. He will. That's the principle from Exodus chapter 16. Objection number 3 would be this. I just don't need a rest day. I'm built different. I'm a mover, a doer, and a shaker. I like to get things done. I got all kinds of energy. I just don't like to stop. I can't sit still even if I wanted to. It's just not the way I am, so I have to keep going. I want to keep working. And maybe those things are true. Maybe you won't wear out emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Maybe you'll be just fine. But if that's you, if you're that type of person, and you're just sure that you're fine without a day of rest, can I point you to the model that the Lord gave us during the creation week? That's where the Sabbath really started, right? Our very beginning, our first week on planet Earth, God was laying the foundation for the Sabbath day. Did you notice? He included that statement, that creation statement about the Sabbath, in with this command in Exodus chapter 20. You know why he did that? So that if we get like this, If we get to the point where we say, Lord, I understand the principles of the Sabbath. Thank you for looking out for me. But really, Lord, I'm fine. I don't need the rest. I don't need the off day. I like to work. It's what I like to do. So I'm just going to go. It's for people like that who feel as though they don't need that off day, that rest day, to take a look at the statement and ask the question. If I don't think I need a Sabbath day of rest, let me just see where God sits in this equation. Did God need a Sabbath day of rest? Did he need one? No. He didn't stop creating because he was whooped. Like, oh man, I should have never made those hippos so big. Whew. If I had that to do over again, they'd be smaller, like pet-sized. Keep them in little cages in your house. No, he didn't stop creating because he was whooped. You say, well, I'm a creative person. I've got all kinds of ideas. That's why I don't like to stop. I got all this new stuff I'm working on, and I got lists of more stuff coming, and I just want to get stuff done. Well, ask the question. Was the Lord out of ideas? Is that why he stopped creating? You know, did he just get to the point on that sixth day where he was like, you know what? All my animals are starting to look the same. Just kind of creatively spent. Just bankrupt of new ideas. So I guess I'm done. I would just call this off. I can't think of anything else to create. Is that why he stopped creating? Of course not. The Lord could have kept creating the seventh day and the eighth day, and he could have been creating every day in the history of this world all the way up to the present day. God could still be creating new stuff and not run out of ideas. There's only one problem. This world would be extremely crowded. And that's really the issue right there. Why do you stop? Well, because if you don't, your mind is going to be very crowded. Your life is going to be very crimped and overfull and overflowing and restricted. No, the Lord didn't stop because he needed to out of exhaustion. He didn't stop because he was out of ideas. So that doesn't matter. And that's the point. You may not feel like you need it. Maybe you don't want to rest. Maybe you got new ideas. Hey, the Lord did too, but the Lord stopped. And you should too. Now, those are the most common objections for neglecting to observe the Sabbath day of rest. But now let's quickly take a look at one of the extremes that has evolved as a result of this Sabbath day command. And we're going to close on this. I want to cover this because I think it's very important. As New Testament Christians, once we make the determination to, in one form or another, observe the Sabbath day, there's something we need to be on guard against. We have to remember what Paul said, don't judge one another in this matter. There's really, theoretically, no right or wrong here, right? As New Testament Christians following the Lord, applying this as he leads us, as we see it from the scriptures. So here's what we got to be on guard against. As New Testament Christians applying the Sabbath day principle in some fashion in our life, we have to be on guard against making this a legalistic thing. Now, if you want to learn what not to do, study the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees in the New Testament who were always attacking Jesus over perceived violations of the Sabbath day law. There in Mark, as they were plucking ears of grain on the Sabbath day because they were hungry, the Pharisees berated them for that. How could you do such a thing on the Sabbath day? You're working. You pluck the grains of corn. That's work. Farming. It's a violation of God's law. No, it wasn't. Jesus would not have violated the Sabbath day law. That's eating, not working. But you know how the religious leaders, the rabbis, those religious Jews of the first century AD and even back before that handled this issue of the Sabbath, don't you? They fell in love with the day. They were honoring the day. They were worshiping the day and not the reason for the day. The Lord told them there in Mark, as the Pharisees were berating the disciples and Jesus for working on the Sabbath, the Lord said this: first of all, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You've missed the point with all of your additional rules and regulations about the Sabbath. You're making the Sabbath more work than the rest of the 6 days of the week. If you lived under those kind of rules, they had 24 chapters on how to observe the Sabbath and what constituted work. Crazy questions in there, like, could a woman lift her baby on the Sabbath day? Or is that work? Ah, let the thing cry. It's the Sabbath day. Ah, let the diaper stay till tomorrow. It's the Sabbath day. Crazy questions. How much could you lift before it constituted work and violated the Sabbath day? You know what the answer was? A dried fig. An empty eggshell. That was their answer. If you lifted anything heavier than a dried fig or an empty eggshell, you were working on the Sabbath. You were violating the Sabbath. 24 chapters of that. 24 chapters of what not to do. Jesus said, you're missing the whole point. You've fallen in love with the day. You're making it to the point where when you get done with the Sabbath day, you're relieved that you can go back to work because it's easier. Whew, man, that's tough keeping the Sabbath. No, that's supposed to be a day of rest. Jesus said this in Mark to the Pharisees. He said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, man doesn't exist for the purpose of keeping this Sabbath day law. Jesus said, the Sabbath day law exists for mankind. It is to be a benefit to mankind. You're making it a burden. It's to be a blessing. The Lord wants you to slow down. He wants you to be blessed in life. He wants you to get that reset. You know you need it, don't you? Don't you get stressed out when you don't get downtime? Don't you get like near the edge of burnout when you're not getting that day of rest? Don't you get spiritually starved when you're not with the fellowship on Sunday worshiping? I've just experienced this myself. Strangest thing happened. I started to get overworked and stressed. I think some of it was church work, studying for messages. I think maybe the other had to do with trying to build a house with my downtime during the week. I got stressed. I got to the point where I don't get like this much. I don't get to the point of burnout much, but I got to the point where I felt like I was ready to burn out. My wife saw it, and she said, I think we need to take tomorrow off. Let's not go work on the house tomorrow. Let's just leave it go. Even if we take the whole week off, big deal. Let's take some downtime. Let's just rest. And at first I thought, well, no, we can't do that. We can't lose the time. We got to get ahead. We got to use this time. We got to work. We got to get this done before that deadline, and then that way we can get that other thing done before that other deadline. And then I just thought, no, I need this. I need the downtime. I need to take this time and just relax. So there I am on that last minute decision to take an off day, and I'm flipping through my memories on Facebook. And I just happened to see, wow, this is so weird. I remember this. A year ago, I posted that I was taking a mental health day, that I was stressed, that I wouldn't be in the office that day, that I was taking a mental health day. It was to the day 1 year ago. I was blown away by that. So I sent that to Maggie. I sent a screenshot, and I said, look at this. Was that May 25th? May 25th. I said, Maggie, this is incredible. This May 25th, I had to take a mental health day. I had to take a Sabbath rest because I was feeling like I was going to burn out. But check this out. A year ago, I was in the same position, and I sent her that message. And then I decided to keep scrolling down my feed. You know what I found out? 2 years before that, on the exact day, May the 25th, I did the same thing. I had no idea. So apparently, that's as far as I can go in the year. I can go till May 25th, and when I get to May 25th, that's my breaking point, and I need to take some downtime. But I recognize those signs in myself. They usually reveal themselves as desk clutter and office clutter. That usually is indicative of the condition of my mind. When my office looks like a disaster, that's probably because my head does too. I'm stressed, I'm busy, I don't even take the time to clean up my office, so it looks like my kids have been in there. Oh, I always love those opportunities to throw them under the bus. But you got to look for those same signs, those same indicators too. You need to make sure you stop. You need to make sure you quit. You need to make sure you cease and desist. Go off and take some time with the Lord. You don't even have to say anything. Just sit there. Meditate on Him. Have that time to worship Him. Take that time with the family where you got no schedule. You're not off to Kennywood or Idlewild. You're just taking that downtime with the family, that off day. And the Lord will bless that and honor that. And He will use that time to renew you and revive you and give you a fresh reset that you so desperately need. Would you stand with me?